Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know, I'm just looking at the words of Jesus. You know, we're really trying to focus on the Gospels and the words of Jesus and, getting back to the original intent of our Creator for us. And I'm looking at, you know, Matthew chapter 11. He's talking here about cities. He's talking about cities. Jesus says, then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. You think about it, that what's, you know, what some of the things we're talking about in the first hour, and also I believe first part of this extra hour is, people are being presented the gospel, and they say, well, you know, I love this Jesus. Yes, I want to be saved. But nobody teaches them about repentance. Nobody teaches them the word of God, because repentance is leaving our life of sin, learning the new way of living and walking in it, the commands of Jesus. And so how can I repent if I don't even know, you know, how can I know that I'm speeding if you hadn't taught me that there's speed limit signs and put signs up?
Mm-hmm.
How can I know I'm sinning if you have not taught me the word of God?
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't know that I'm sinning, how can I tell you that I've repented? You know, so I really believe that the fullness. And so Jesus is talking here. He was not rebuking these cities because, you know, they didn't not talk about Jesus and that miracles and ministry didn't happen there. It happened there. But he says, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the miracles that have been performed in you have been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a long time ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon than for you on the day of judgment. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, which is Sodom and Gomorrah, it would have remained to this particular day. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom on that day than for you. And so much today, everybody talks about, you know, that's like Sodom and Gomorrah. And God's going, listen, my expectations are higher for you than Sodom. Because if they would have had what you had today, with the blessing that you're living in today, and the provision and the miracles and all the things that have happened in your generation, they would not have served the devil.
That's right.
They would have served God. That's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so here are these guys. They're not Sodom and Gomorrah. They're somebody who didn't respond to God and repent. Didn't repent. That was what it was. And it's like, bear fruit in keeping with your repentance. The axe is already laid at the root. And repentance means that we're going to have a life that has fruit in it. We're going to have a life that has fruit in it. And when you think about that, you start thinking about, well, then if we're being religious, but we're not repenting, and all this ministry is going on in the context of it, then we could say we're sort of like fruitless wonders.
Mm.
You know, fruitless wonders. And Jesus said in Matthew 21:43, he said, therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit.
Mm.
I mean, think about that. That's just like wrecks a lot of doctrine out there that's being taught. This is the word. This is why we're going back to the words of Jesus. We want to find out what's going on. And John says in Matthew 3:8, he says, listen, produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. Well, my goodness, if I haven't repented, then I'm not going to have the fruit of repentance. Mm. And he says, produce fruit. He says, listen, in verse 10 of that same chapter, he says, an axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So it wasn't the fact that you're not a tree. Yeah, you're a tree, but you got to, being a good tree means you actually produce.
That's right.
And so we can be, a lot of ministry, a lot of things can be happening. People can be getting healed and just, you know, religious things going on and not necessarily wrong things. I mean, but Jesus was obviously delivering the perfect gospel. I mean, he is the perfect gospel, but yet they responded to it in a religious way. You know, Romans 11:17-23, we find out actually the verse 21, he lets us know, he says, don't be arrogant, because if he didn't spare the natural branches, he won't spare you either. And he goes on to verse 22, the latter part, he says, you can be cut off.
Mm.
You can be cut off. And he says very specifically that there's something, if we truly are walking with God, if we are like Tyre or Sidon or Sidon, or if we're like Capernaum and we're hearing this right gospel to us, presented to us, we have a responsibility to repent, to hear what Jesus is saying to us and say, yes, I want to make him the Lord of my life and make him the Lord of my life and learn his ways and begin to follow in him. And the thing about this too, Jesus says very specifically in John 15:5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains or abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. See, this fruit is important. We could be fruitless wonders.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but apart from me, you're a fruitless wonder. But apart from me, you can do nothing.
Yeah.
So over and over again, we just hear it's being reiterated. And we discover that Jesus is expecting from us what we can't even do ourselves outside of a personal relationship with him. We have to be fruitful, but we can only be fruitful if we abide with him, if we remain in him. And we talk about that at iabide.org. That's why we talk about abiding, because you're not going to be able to do what we're talking about and what Jesus is talking about unless Jesus empowers you to be able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be really confusing. Fruitless wonders could be really confusing. But this is, here's, I think I was wrong. What was the
author? What was Jim Baker?
Jim Baker wrote the book, I Was Wrong, and he dealt with lots of fruitless wonders. They come in one after the other. They preached good messages. They prophesied, sang good songs. People were healed, and these gifts were working. And he would sit and have dinner with them and eat with them, and they were totally bad fruit. And there were things that come out of their mouth. It wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and so he just thought, well, I guess it doesn't matter. And he began to measure them by their gifts instead of by their fruit.
Right.
And this is so, so very important, because, you know, the question is, fruit is not our gifts. We got to understand that. We got to understand that fruit is not our gifts. In Romans 11:29, we find out that God's gifts and his calls are given without repentance, or they're irrevocable. But also we find out when Jesus tells us in Matthew 22:14, that for many are called or invited, but few are chosen. So just because you got a call, just because you got a gift, don't mean you're chosen. It's actually when you make that choice to be able to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And when you see what's happening in the context of fruitless wonders, is it matters who they are when they're alone. It matters who they are, because, you know, we've seen a lot of things where you have on the public scene where they're professing these different things, but behind the scenes, they're just beating the heck out of you with their, mm-hmm. with their things and their stuff. And it's just like, really, you know, and you think, what meanest thou this? And the truth is, it's like, you're known by your fruit. And Matthew 7:15-23 lets us know. And Jesus says it in verse 19, he says, every tree that does not bear good fruit, and that's every, by the way, every tree, will be cut down and thrown into the fire. You think about that.
Mm.
And so if we get this gift thing mixed up and call thing mixed up with fruit, you know, we'll be like the people that Jesus talks about in Matthew 7:21. He says, as he's beginning to talk, he says, not everyone. But think about that right off the front. Not everyone. Mm-hmm. And you just really want, you know what I'm saying? It's like, look how religious we are. I'm sure everyone knows Jesus here. We're all in the house of the Lord today, right? I mean, you want to say that, right? You just want to. But the truth is, Jesus said in the red letters, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not only do they actually hang around Jesus, but they even call him Lord, Lord, you know? Mm-hmm. And he says, only he who does the will of my Father. You see, fruit has to do with obedience that can only come out of the empowerment that you get from your actually truly knowing and hanging out with Jesus. We'll talk more about that. And he says, this is the only ones that's really going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And he says right here, he says, who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many will say to me on that day, and he's talking about the day when it's all over, the choice is already been made. And they'll say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? And I'm like, you know, if I hear one more prophetic word by somebody that treats you like junk, you know, when it's over with, it's like, don't, it's important if they treated you like junk, but they gave a word, even if it was accurate, take the word for being accurate, but don't take their relationship with God.
That's right.
Of being accurate. Because you know them by the fruit. He says,
separate the gift from the character.
Yeah, and it's amazing. It's like, no, no, sit back down. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, drive out demons. What does that mean? People are demon possessed and you come against this, the satanic round, Ephesians 6:12 that we wrestle against and the authority in Jesus' name. And you tell the devil to go. And because there's power in Jesus' name, the devil goes.
Power in Jesus' name.
Like you keep, there's power in the name of Jesus. And then there, when you go and speak to the spiritual realm, that Ephesians 6:12 talks about, and you bind them in the name of Jesus and you drive the devil out. And in that context of that, he goes out. It's because there's power in the name of Jesus. And in that, the devil goes. And then he says, and performs many miracles. I mean, these are miracles where all of a sudden, you know, you prayed, they prayed for rain in the name of Jesus and rain came down, or they laid hands on the sick and the sick recovered, and these different things. He says, but then Jesus said, this is what Jesus is saying. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. I never knew you. See, you get to know Jesus when you abide with him. When you abide with, that's what we're always talking about, iabide.org. We don't want you confused with the fact of thinking because you got a gift and you got a call that you're not going to be here at this encounter that Jesus is talking about right here. Because you don't want to be preaching a kingdom to others that you yourself are not going to enter in. That's what they're saying. That's what he's saying. And then he says, away from me, you evildoer. See, these men and women became religious, but they didn't become relational. Either they never made Jesus the Lord of their life, or at some point they left their relationship with Jesus and just stayed religious. They identified themselves by what they do. We call that hoodoo. By their gift. It doesn't mean their gift was not accurate. It just means you're not what you do. You are who you are in, with Jesus. In your abiding relationship with him. And understanding that they never abided or stopped abiding with God. Sort of like Saul and David. You know, David sought the Lord, Saul didn't. Both of them had the same prophetic word over them, but there was a day that God regret said, I regretted the day that I ever made Saul king. What did David do? He inquired of the Lord. So what is good fruit? I mean, what is good fruit? We're specifically told what good fruit is in Galatians 5:22-23. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love. I mean, that, think about that. That alone, because God is love. If there's no love there, if there's no love there, there's no God there. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And it's like, why do you bite me every time I'm around you? What is, what's got a hold of you? It ain't God, because I ain't, you're feeling the love. You know what I'm talking about? You're feeling the love. And you think about all those religious folks that was around Jesus, God, Emmanuel, were being very religious around God, love himself. They're being religious around him, but they didn't know God. They even called God Satan. They called Jesus Satan. So this is a possible paradigm that can happen. But he says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. But just think about love. You think about how important that is, because if we don't have love, we don't have God.
That's right.
You know, you don't, and it's like the love of the body, you know, the love of the church, love of many, excuse me, the love of many will grow cold in the last days because of great lawlessness that's in the land. And so when we're thinking about, love, that if and what they did, what, you know, Jim Baker did, he saw these ministry take place, these gifts take place, and he sat with them around the table, and there was no love. There was no love. And sad to say, and that happens quite a bit in the body. It happens quite a bit where Paul says, I've warned you day and night that wolves are coming from come into your number, even come from among your number.
And, for 3 years, right?
Yeah, with tears, never stopped warning. And gifts are just so mesmerizing. It's always been an issue in the church where people begin to worship gifts instead of worship God. But so love is so important that without it, our gifts are worthless and meaningless if we don't have love. And you think about love. He talks about it in 1 Corinthians 13 when he says, actually, verse 31 of 12, he starts, but eagerly desire the greatest gifts. Mm. And then he says, and now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. Mm-hmm. We've had some encounters like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Gong. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, John, I mean, talking about moving mountains. But have not love, I am nothing. This just puts a fear of God in a lot of us because it's easy to kick in to be religious, but when people are around you, it's raunchous. You know what I'm saying? And you can only be moving in love through the empowerment we're going to talk about of spending time with love himself. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. What is he saying? You can be as religious as you want to, but if you don't have love, it's totally meaningless. Even if people get saved by the kingdom message, it doesn't mean that person who's delivering it is going to enter in. Mm. Does it not?
That's right.
That's right.
And so love is produced, because remember he says, produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. Love is produced in our lives when we abide with love himself, Jesus. We're not going to be able, it's contagious. You spend time with love, Jesus. We abide with him, right? I mean, he says very specifically, and synonymous with love, it's obedience. It's obedience in love, loving obedience. Because he tells us in John 14, 15, Jesus plainly says, if you love me, if you really love me, right? Mm-hmm. If you love me, you will obey me. In verse 21, he says, whoever has my commands and obeys them. Remember, if I've never seen a speed limit sign, if I'm part of the 82% that don't even read the Bible, if I don't even know what sin is, right? Mm-hmm. He says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Mm. Obedience and love, synonymous. Verse 23 through 24. If anyone, there it goes again, everyone, anyone, all of them puppies, right? Mm. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching.
Wow.
Think about how many fruitless wonders today that you bump into, and it's like, you're shutting me down when we're talking about the teachings of Jesus, but yet you're wanting to sing, you're wanting to prophesy. You're wanting, you know, you're not living your marriage the way God says to live a marriage, but yet you want to go teach people how to be married. Mm. You know, I was like, what, what? And the thing is that we can go back and say, wait a minute, fruitless wonder.
That's right.
Fruitless wonder. And you know how to minister to them. Right. You say, you know, set your little prophet self down for a moment. I know you just cast the devil out, but we're going to get the
fruit
devil.
Fruit first.
We're going to get the devil off of you first. We should do anymore.
Fruit first.
Ministry second.
Right?
Remember that? Fruit first, yeah. Ministry second. I'm not your son. Okay, who does not, this is what he says, let me do it again. If anyone loves me, he will obey, this is Jesus, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Mm. He who does not love me will not obey my teachings. There's a lot of people right now that need to be taught. In the church, people who profess to be Christians, they need to be taught how to love God. Because, you know, many people said, yeah, love God, give. And they talk about some good thing going on. Or, you know, if you help us build the wing on, that's loving God. We'll put a plaque up with your name on it. And these different things. And the truth is that it's actually obeying him here and obey. Mm. Hear and obey. That's love for God. And he says, and this he goes on to say, these words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Listen, what I just told you and what Jesus told us, that's what God said. That's what God said. So you can listen to religious folk all day long, and there's lots of them. Jesus was talking to them when he was talking about what happened in Sidon and Capernaum and all. But it's the people who you just feel. I think about, you know, some other acquaintances and people that we have that is like, my goodness, you just want to be around them because they got love.
Yeah.
You just want to kind of like get up under their arm and hang around. You're like, well, I'm just hanging around love for a while. I'll be out there in a minute. I'm just going to hang out for a while. You just feel God in their life. You just feel that empowerment. And how to remain fruitful and to remain in God's love. He goes on to tell us in verse 15. He tells us very specifically in 19. He says, chapter 15, verse 19. He says, as the Father has loved me, this is Jesus saying, so have I loved you. Now, it's about right this moment. Now, remain or abide in my love. If you obey my commands, because remember he said in Matthew 28, go make disciples of the nations, teach them to obey my commands. And he says right here, he says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Oh my goodness. Mm. Just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remained in his love. Obedience is how we remain. We hear what he says, but we don't go, well, that was cool. I'm going to do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. We hear what he says, and we actually do what he says. It makes me think of the man who had the vision or the dream, and he's standing before the throne of God, and he's had this lifelong ministry, and he's talking, you know, I did this, 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 and God's just looking at him and looking at him and like looking through him and looking around him. And finally, the guy gets really uncomfortable, and he says, what? What? After he's cranked off all these lists of accomplishments. And he says, I'm just trying to see how much of my son I see in you.
Mm. Wow.
You see, it's about us decreasing and Jesus increasing. It's about us becoming Christ-like. It's not about Jesus becoming us-like. It's us becoming like him. And when you think about it, so what does love look like? Well, he goes on to tell us in verse 13 what it looks like. Chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians in verse 4, he says, listen, love is patient, enduring hardship and delay and difficulty without complaining. Mm. This is why we say you got to abide. I cannot do that without having a personal relationship with God.
That's right.
And if I start lacking in that area, I got to spend more time with God. Mm-hmm. If I get really bad, I take a sabbatical because I got to get right in my heart with God. But love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. We got Christians that have businesses named envy.
You know, oh, Jesus.
It's just like, what? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Think about it. Mm. Like, remember how Chris and Pat were talking about
it, kind of like that, kind right. of going back and forth.
It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. And love never fails. Mm. It never fails. And you think about that, then it's like, I can't do that, God. I mean, I can do it for a little bit, but all of them at the same time. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And he says, you can't do it apart from abiding with me. You can't do it. I'll actually empower you to be patient. I'll empower you and give you grace to be kind when everything inside of you wouldn't be kind. But all of a sudden it's like, I don't know where that kindness came. Well, I do know where that kindness came from because it didn't come from me.
That's right.
You know, it'll help you not envy, empower you not to boast and not to be proud. And, you know, it's this hanging out with Jesus. He calls us to do something we can't do outside of a personal abiding relationship with him. What in all of this, yet we're powerless to love unless we abide with love himself. John 15, 6, this is what he says. Jesus says this, if anyone does not abide or remain in me, he is like a branch. Just like John the Baptist said, just like Jesus said earlier, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Oh. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Just like Paul talked about in Romans chapter 11, branches being cut off. Fruitless, branches, fruitless wonders. John 15, 8 and 16 very specifically talks about this. Says, listen, this is Jesus saying this. This is the red letters gospel. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit.
Much.
Much fruit. And we just found out it's not your prophecy. It's not miracles and signs and wonders. It's how you're treating folk. Mm-hmm. You know, what's in your heart when you're doing it? And he says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciple. You see, that's our identification card. We got fruit. And that is our identification card. When we're bearing fruit, we're fruit. We're actually, these fruits of the Spirit are coming out of us towards other people. Somebody says, he's been with God. She's been with God. Mm-hmm. Because they can feel the fruit of the Spirit coming off of it. And then he goes on and says this. He says, listen, you didn't choose me. Jesus is saying this. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you to go. Bear fruit. I mean, there it is again. Mm. And fruit that lasts, which means there's some fruit that don't last. Fruit is what we do for or to others and adjoin with the motives in our heart of why we did it. Whether it's good or bad determines on why we did it and who we did it for. Good fruit is us being empowered through our abiding relationship with the Lord to obey his commands to us in regards to others because we love him and we love them. An example of bad fruit is doing something for someone for personal gain, recognition, power, but not out of love for God and love for the others or out of obedience to God. So God empowers us. What did he tell us? He told us that the axe is already laid at the root. Bear fruit in keeping with your repentance. What did he say to Sidon and Capernaum? He says, listen, Sodom would have repented a long time ago if what's done in you, what has been done in them. It's going to be worse for you on the end because you didn't repent. And it's not just repenting. It's not just saying a prayer. You're going to have to be fruitful. You can't be a fruitful wonder. And there's so many fruitful wonders. It gets really confusing. You got to pause and abide and say, okay, wait a minute. I know I see this being said, but I see this being done. God, help me with this. And you go, okay, I know how to minister to this person. In the last days, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. It's a sign of the last days. Fruitless wonders. Matthew 21 43, and I'm just closing out right here just so you can just get this thing. We're going to bring a ton in here. But think about it. Jesus says this, and this is what I started with. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. But on whom it falls will be crushed. Listen, if we give our lives to Jesus and his commands, it'll break us to pieces. It'll humble us. But remember this, it's in broken soil. It's in broken up soil. It's in the brokenness of the soil that the harvest comes, that the seed gets sown. That the water comes and the fruit comes. Fruitless wonders. You know them by their fruit, not by their wonders.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.